Jeremiah 48, verse number 10 and 11. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. You know, when you check the texture of this scripture, you will know the people to whom this message was delivered will not be smiling. There are days when you refrain from smiling. There is a time to smile, and this is not that time. Verse 11. He said, Moab had been at ease from his youth. From when? So he likes lounges. Like to spread himself. Pastor, you know those days we were in a union when I was still in Nigeria, where as staff of the oil industry, we're part of a union, right? And the reason why we're in that union was because if the management, the top management, begin to victimize somebody, we'll use the force of the union to press for that person to be delivered. So one day there was a crisis. So men were selected to go to the headquarters, meet with the management, and press these issues. There were pressing issues. Meanwhile, because you are part of the people that were selected, the union will fund your trip. So one of the union members was in the best hotel in our nation. He snapped himself. And then the caption on Facebook was, living the life, living the life. That was how Moab was. He was at ease from the days of his youth. There are times to be at ease, but not this time. There are times where you might need some comfort to increase your lifespan. Not this time. Not this time. Not this time. You can do without a bed this time. Just a pillowcase. Just your bag for the head. Stones for pillows, like Jacob. When you put the average Christian under pressure, meanwhile, this is not my sermon. I'm just trying to give you an orientation. The right orientation that is needed for you to understand what we came here to do is what I'm trying to recalibrate you. Most of you came like civilians. You came to catch up. Came to spend summer time. Moab, the Bible says, has been what? At ease from his youth. Because of the ease he accommodated, the Bible says he has settled on his lease. Now, I need another translation to help me unravel the second aspect there. Give me another translation. Another translation. Yes, anybody coming to the rescue? Moab has been at ease from his youth.
And has settled on his dress.
I need a simpler translation. That is even more complex than the one we are trying to. Please, someone help me. Is there help available this evening? He is like wine that has been allowed to settle. Undisturbed, unperturbed. He has settled. You're not with me. The reason why my hair is not white is actually white, but I found the technology of dyes. So I can speak, let me speak like an ancient, because I have seen time pass. We were in the university and there was this sister full of the Holy Ghost, full of fire. And the moment she got married, she said, we were looking for her on the radar, on the horizon. She was nowhere to be found because she settled. Wine that contains alcohol is supposed to be troubled. And that's why wine gets better with time. And I normally ask believers, are you like milk or like wine? Because milk will spoil with time. Wine gets better with time, tougher, stronger with time. And the Bible says that the path of the just is like a shining light that shineth more, that your intensity should increase. But if from the days of your youth you accept the doctrine of ease, your wine, it will settle. The first thing we need to ask us, as you are inducted into the conference this evening, we need to ask ourselves, have you settled? Have you settled? I remember when my wife was pregnant for our last daughter, she did 7 days dry fasting with pregnancy. Have you settled? Can you defy the pressure of pregnancy? Have you trained yourself enough to be stronger than the pain, the bed pangs, the pain of pregnancy, the rigor of sleeping only one side in the night and still praying in tongues? That skill is only available to those that refuse to settle. Have you settled? The first, I want to lead us in some prayer. This prayer is the recalibration machine. Oh, some of you just got admission into college, and your plan is to go and settle in Iowa, settle in Nebraska. If you settle, by the time you come back after one semester, even you yourself will not recognize yourself in the mirror. You would have changed. So the first aspect of the induction for this conference is this prayer point. Lord, let me never settle. No. Oh, wait. You are not saying it. But who is taking away the scripture from here? Leave it there. Leave it. Restore that scripture. He said, his wine has what? Set. So the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That means you are filled with the Holy Ghost. And because you are filled with the Holy Ghost, if you know how to deal properly with the Holy Ghost, you will not settle. The wine keeps stirring you. The wine keeps activating you. But it is a strange sight to see someone that has the Holy Ghost and eventually, like Moab, now what?
Settles.
Can we pray and disinfect ourselves from every tendency of settling? You are not following me. Sister, look at me. The miracle you ask for is not far away. But my question for you tonight is, will that miracle, will it be so intense that it will settle you? Be stronger than the miracle. Be bigger than your title. Be bigger than the portfolio that you occupy. Oh my God. Can you allow yourself to be disinfected from every tendency to settle. Escofelamina tali kuvilai kombamote kabose abresko famina kidia abakonde mansali valetola kampula gabasoke babentalan kombanto ekamina sila braita kobe matala uvele kostamenaito amin kambose amakoria
Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Your miracle is by the corner, but are you bigger than it? Are you stronger than it? I will not settle. I will not settle. Laiko bema, sama bema konda. Bless come na sala bome. Ayeboko ya, ikame na tola. Amen sobe na kadia. Ekoska babota, ya babo santania. Ame komba matane, ame sababolia. Ame kuri mama mata, ama konsa. Ebra makayanto, ebra makabolia. Abemo kapela menata, abako wabesi. Wabe makante, wabe makoske, rapa bokota minakadia. Sons and daughters of the kingdom of God that can bring Goliath down. They are stronger than the way they look. They are stronger than the opportunities that come their way. They are stronger than the pressure. They are stronger than the persecution. Kofela kutea, eskomba matata koba, wabesi, waba makantele, habebo koba, webasika, hamakaya bonse, reke baba lakute mantali. Sasa kope mandiate akombrabo wabo saka mantale bobo sika babo kontaminaila.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Listen to me. Many prayed for an anointing, but they were not bigger than the anointing inside. It was the same anointing that they requested for that led to their derailment. Many prayed for a job at the zenith of things, in the high towers and the high places, but they were not bigger than it. That job became their undoing. Many prayed for a husband, but they were not bigger than marriage. And it was in the graveyard of marriage that their vision, their calling, was drowned. Many prayed for a wife. Don't get me wrong, these are good things. Are you there? I remember a friend of mine those days, he was in courtship for 5 years. Courtship for 5 years and sent the lady to university, and she finished, I think she read some accounting or something like that, then now went for the actual proposal after the 5 years. You know this fake one that they do now, that they bring flower and nail, this type, the type you are looking for, the type you want that. And the lady said no. He never recovered from that till this day. That was a great evangelist that was rising. It was a locust that ate 5 years from him. You know, the Lord said, I will restore unto you the years that the palmer worm, that the canker worm, that the caterpillar, that the locust have eaten. This, you are not here. These locusts, they don't eat grass, they eat years. It is the years, he said, will restore. Demons assigned to eat up your years, and they will take advantage of every opening, every opportunity, and the mission is to eat up your years. I was somewhere, I don't want to mention the place because the person might be watching. Are you following? Somewhere in the US here, and I was counseling with someone. You know what the person told me? Pastor, I feel as if something ate up 20 years of my life. That's it. That's caterpillar. When you focus on the wrong thing, and Satan will be aiding you, he'll be helping you to make it look wonderful. You'll be emotionally satisfied until the locust has. His evangelistic ministry drowned after that heartbreak. What are you pampering that has the potential to drown you? The reason why it will drown you is because you are not bigger in the spirit than it. You are not bigger than relationship. You think that you came here just for relationship. And you'll be hunting from relationship from Texas. You'll be hunting to North Carolina. Hey! Oh! That's why we called it the call, so that we will show you what matters. The call. People are so desperate. I saw somebody making a public proposal. I am 43. I'm 43. Anyone that is willing to get married, here am I. Oh, the locust has eaten. The locust has dealt a blow. Meanwhile, the formula is that you get submerged in the call, and then everything that you need to fulfill your divine purpose will begin to navigate in your direction. That man will come out of the woods. He can't sleep because you are in alignment. You have an address. He will trace you there. If you are not in alignment, you are everywhere, you are nowhere. And in the day of your visitation, you'll be displaced. When people gather at Bethesda, you will not be there when the angel is stirring the water. The caterpillar, he ate 5 years of waste, and the evangelist did not survive. We did not come to comfort you. We came to show you how desperate Satan is, and the way to walk, oh my God, such that it will look like you are the only man that is on earth. In the midst of the crowd, you cannot be lost. And he had not been emptied from vessel to vessel. It means that he has not been challenged. He has not been exposed to situations that will shake him. If I ask you, who influenced you the most in life? The answer you will give me will be wrong. I know you. For you, you will say your dad. He's a great man. You know who influenced you the most? That wicked person that was around your life, you could not escape from. Because of the person's wickedness, you were determined that the person will not have an opportunity to smile at your failure. That's the person that influenced you the most. That's the person that turned you from vessel to vessel. He unbalanced you and shook you. Then you became determined. If I die, I die. That's where we want to take you. In this cantonment, to be able to say, if I die, no man that has not come to that point will become anything in life. Some of us are not here to make money. We are not here. We were pushed by wicked men. And we came to the brink and shouted, I follow Jesus, and if I die, I die. Everybody that said in the Bible, if I die, I die, they never die. But the ones that say we will die, they die before daybreak. Because I left everything behind. I left everything. I never promised my wife that I will live long. I move with every part of my being. I give my best shot. We will not have another opportunity to try again. And if I die, I die. Wicked people. Wicked people that, oh my God, my dad showed mercy. We are ready to ensure that we never see the light of day. That's good. That's good. God will expose you so that you are changed from vessel to vessel. Don't run away from persecution. Don't run away from pressure. That is the trigger that brings you to a point where you see nothing else matters but that, the call. They will take away from you the coat of many colors. They will take your spark. They will take your smile. But there is something they can never take away. Can we cry tonight? Even if you lead us to the place where the battle rages, we will not deny your name. Even if you lead us through the fire, even if you lead us through the waters, even if you lead us through the darkness, through the tempest, through the storm, oh, I receive capacity. I receive grace to still be standing and haven't gone all to stand.
Can you put on your strength? Put on your strength. Put on your strength. Stay yourself in the Holy Ghost.
Now, is it so difficult to leave my scripture? Do we need prayer, supplication, for my scripture to remain on the screen? May you not be moved to remove my scripture until I request that it be taken away. You want to escape the fact that you have not been emptied from vessel to vessel. You have been kept steadfastly in your comfort zone. You don't know trouble. You don't know warfare. You don't know pressure. You don't know the fights of destiny. You've been shielded from it. You've been protected from it. If you grow up that way, you will have no ability to possess your land. The Bible says, neither has he gone into captivity. Have you been in a situation where all the odds are against you? And then you realize that your intelligence, your beauty, your strength, your handsomeness, your height, your waist size cannot influence the situation. If you've ever been into captivity, that's when you will know you need a God. That the powers that keep you in bondage, they have a spiritual undertone. And you need to draw from Him that is all powerful to bring you out of situations that you have no authority over. He has never been in a situation of captivity. I've been there. How long can you last when you cannot control what happens? How long can you last? I've seen people that are boasted by the wrong things, boasted with the currency of the wrong things, boasted with the currency of money. I've seen people in affliction, and the affliction was superior to the money that they had. I've seen people that boasted in their beauty, and something happened, and the beauty did not count. Do you know captivity? There is a power that you can develop inside of your spirit man. Are you there? It will give you the ability to last. Endurance is the ability to outlast the devil. Most of you will break when it is a game of waiting. Moab had never been in captivity. You know what happened to him? His taste remained in him. All his weaknesses that he was born with, all the bad influences that had impacted upon him, he grew into old age with the same weakness. Some things that you might call an advantage, in the day of destiny, it becomes a disadvantage. You come from a family that has a big name. All right? Those of us from Africa, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I think it applies here too in the US. There are several places and lounges you cannot even approach because you don't have the name, so to do. So, because of the name, you've been surviving by the name, not by capacity. You've been surviving by probably the wealth that is in that arrangement, not because you built any. You don't have any original experience of attempting to sojourn like Abraham did. Are you there? Abraham closed his identity, went to USCIS, told them, delete my name from the lexicon of our Americans. He blotted out his citizenship from all the Chaldees, withdrew his membership from his family, withdrew his membership from his kindred, became nameless because he had no surname to his name. Nameless, fatherless, countryless. Everything that was an advantage upon which he built previous existence was cut off. It was cut off under the promise that was heard in a whisper. You will go to a land that I will show you. That's where your destiny is. That's where your inheritance will be found. The way you are so intelligent, can you be foolish enough to follow that voice? Because you will wander out of everything that you call security. his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed. People that come from the family I come from in Africa have reason to be proud. But when I began the journey of destiny, and God began to reveal to me how that he wants to give me a teaching gift, the first warning he gave me is that pride and the teaching anointing cannot go together. I know you for many years you got by with your family name with and all the paraphernalia that accompanies it, the pride. The day will come where you will need to stand apart from that name. That's the day you will discover that your scent did not change. Part of what we are here to do is to change your scent. You've carried this scent for too long. You've carried this shape for too long. And the shape that God wants you to wear that will be compatible with destiny is that which God wants to give. Oh my God. Somebody needs to cry and say, Lord, let my scent change. Can you cry? Can you cry in a moment? Can you cry in a moment? He's off a lacute. Botekesia, kilobo contamina keti. Bokamina iso canteli. For the cambos keto, poco papa patata. Your scent will change. Your confidence will change. The source of your strength will change. Esike boko mamemanatia fakopina teli baito kapesi bakosketo ekopi manatalia ebramante koske valite valita komenaita. Lehis kofaminale prosketo kombe maminatali kofodonte masketo konde. Your scent will change. So that people that know you, that knew you 6 years ago, will look upon you and say, ah, you have changed. Yeah. You know, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what that means? Okay, let me tell you. It means you will not go out of this world the same way you came. It's either you become conformed to this world, or you become transformed by the renewing of your mind. You will not remain the same way. You will become something else other than what you started out with. Every day you spend is a day of becoming. You are becoming something. And if you are not intentional about life, you become the wrong thing. We fought storms, waves, spirits, poverty, darkness, wicked people. And the reason why the pressure was intense was because there was a call. Oh, my height. We prayed for the days when the pressure will end. We never knew that God allowed it so that our scent can change. There are some pressures that God will not take away. It is designed to make you cry to him and stay with him and hold his hand. And at the end of the day, your scent changes. When your scent changes, you will discover that it was the previous scent that had limited you from entering into your promised land all this while. And that was why God will be brutal to ensure that that scent changes. Genesis chapter 12. This scripture will be our navigator. Now, the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee and in all shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You might not understand the significance of Genesis chapter 12 and the intentions that God had in mind that occasioned this sovereign work of grace. My attempt during the course of this conference will be to show you the background that led to the call of Abraham. When we talk about a call, the book of Genesis chapter 12 seems to explicitly give us a clear layout of what a call is. So we are going to begin to excavate and to try to understand the context around which this call was given. All right? So that you will understand how critical it is for God to have a man to call. Is that clear? So that will be my own burden during the course of this conference. So this journey begins from Genesis chapter 4. So we'll need to study Genesis from chapter 4 to chapter 12 to understand the call. Okay? So let's start with chapter 4. We'll do that this night. we'll be building on that until we arrive at the call. Is that okay? Genesis chapter 1 is the activity of the Father. The first time words were used in the Bible, they were used for creation and not for communication. So the personality that we see in Genesis chapter 1 is the Father creating by exercising his authority. Genesis chapter 2, we see an aspect of creation. There was an aspect of creation that was not pronounced into being. 60% of creation was pronounced into being. And it was the Father that exercised his authority to speak these things into being. Right? There were other aspects of creation that were not spoken into being. An example of that is man. There's an aspect of man that was spoken into being, the immaterial aspect of man. Then there's an aspect of man that was made. So if we go to the executive summary about creation, which you will find in the book of Genesis chapter 2, you will see that there are two aspects of creation. That which was spoken into being and that which God made. So in Genesis chapter 2, we see another aspect of creation. And this aspect of creation is the aspects that were made. One of those items that was in the made aspect is man. You will notice the blueprint. When man was conceived, this was the idea of the conception. Let us make man. So man is among those, the category of things that were made. So those category of things were not spoken into existence. There was a practical activity that had to go down in order for them to be made. So in Genesis chapter 2, you see the making aspect of creation. All right? And I don't want to go into all of that because I know you know that. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 5 to 7, you will now see the account of the making of man. And man is one of the components that falls under the category made. Is that clear? In Genesis chapter 3, what we see is that the two colonial masters, having made man to become a living soul, man will need to exercise the power of free choice to determine his lines of development. So the devil had the opportunity to come advertise his own kingdom, and God had the opportunity to come advertise his own kingdom. And unfortunately for man, man decided to follow the manifesto of Satan, and he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Are you still there? I don't want to go into the details because that's not where I'm going. Then we now have Genesis chapter 4. Now that the fall of man has come into view, now that the fall of man has manifested, and the implication of the fall of man is that man, having eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, man is existing apart from God right now. Is existing what? Apart from God. If man had eaten of the tree of life, he would have been a creature that cannot do without God. He will be dependent on God, utterly dependent on God. So one of the evidences of life, the divine life, someone that is in custody of the divine life, is that that person is going to be utterly dependent on God. That's what life will do to you. The divine life will bring you to a point of dependence. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil will bring you to a point of independence. So Adam modeled the example of rebellion, and Jesus modeled the example of dependence and obedience. That's the way of life. Is that clear? All right, so let's go to Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 4, I'll begin from verse 16 so that you will see the real action. Before I begin to talk about Genesis, please stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. Are you with me? By the time you are done with this meeting, when you go out, you will not find this tape. It is what you can take now that is yours. Now, let me give you a background before, so that you can understand Genesis chapter 4, verse 16, where I want to begin from. Satan or Lucifer is waging war in heaven. He desires the kind of authority that God wields. And unfortunately for him, he did not succeed. The coup was not successful. And when you look carefully at the two archangels, the two other archangels that were mentioned in scripture, you have Michael, you have Gabriel. Can you see? There is an L behind their names. That means God, in his all-knowing dimension, had sealed Gabriel with his name. He sealed Michael with his name. He did not seal Lucifer with his name, because he knew that Lucifer was going to rebel. Are you there? Because you might ask me, okay, why is it that God decided to put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden when God knew that man was going to eat of it? I know you ask this kind of question. Okay, so let me be answering all of them before you even ask it. It was because every creature, either in heaven or on earth, that has a will, are you there? That has a will, must be confronted with a test. So it was the test that was presented to the angels above that led to the fall of Lucifer. And since man was in that category of beings that he has a will, that same test would need to come to man. And unfortunately, Adam also fell. Are you there? So Lucifer tried to depose God, tried to plot a coup in heaven so that he would take over the authority that God wills. That was not possible. And he was cast out of heaven. When he was cast out of heaven, He now came into the earth. Are you there? He facilitated the fall of man. Because what he wanted to implement in heaven, that he was disallowed, he discovered that it would be possible for him to implement it where? Oh, you are not with me. You know what I will do? As we go on, when I notice you are not following, it means you still have some years in the wilderness. So I will support you. I will support you to delete that aspect. No more wilderness. Okay. So Satan had a vision. He wanted to implement it in heaven. It did not work. So now he has found the earth. And he has tricked Adam to make the wrong choice. And unfortunately for Adam, because Adam obeyed Satan instead of obeying God, Adam became Satan's slave. There are seven spiritual laws that I have detected in the Bible. The first law is the law of servitude. The Bible says, for whomsoever you yield yourself as a servant to obey, the servant of such ye shall become. So Satan gave his manifesto to Adam, and Adam decided to obey Satan. So Adam became Satan's servant. So now Satan has the authority to implement the vision that he had, which he could not implement where? Are you following? So in the book of Genesis chapter 4, the reason why I want to begin this journey from there is that Satan found an apostle. Yeah. That was willing to work with him to implement his vision. He found an apostle in the person of Cain. Okay, let's begin our journey. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Please stay with me. You know where I'm going to Genesis 12. If you don't understand this politics that I want to show you, you will be careless. I need to show you how smart Satan is. Are you with me? The first thing that happened was that I think Adam was trying to, by all means, to, you know, initiate some reconciliatory moves with God after the fall. It was Adam that educated Cain and Abel that God has some things that are entitled to him. Because of that, you will find in the book of Genesis chapter 4 how that Cain and Abel came to offer sacrifices to God. That was based on education. And fortunately for Abel, he offered what God wanted, something that had blood, because that was a sign of an atonement. So God now accepted the offering of Abel because it mirrored the idea of atonement. Are you there? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And unfortunately for Cain went and brought his farm produce that came out of the earth that was already cursed. And when he presented it to God, God did not accept it because it did not mirror his vision for redemption. So God made it clear that he accepted the sacrifice of Abel and rejected the sacrifice of Cain. Cain was moved, and the first murder was committed. After the first murder, what we have from Genesis chapter 4, verse 8 to 12, is a court session. The court session that ruled against Cain and deposed king. Are you there? I don't want to go into all of that because the court session came up with... Okay, I think I need to show you. Go to verse 11. This is the sentence that came out of the court session. And I don't have time to explain all the ingredients of the court session, but this is the sentence. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood out of thy hand. They are cursed from the earth. Okay? Next verse. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. That means there is no place on earth that will support his destiny. He is a farmer. He's into crop production. But the entire earth has been commanded not to produce for him. So sustenance is going to be a problem. And because there is no place that will produce for him, he is now sentenced to become a fugitive. He'll be looking for other grounds. Maybe the circumstances might be different in different locations. So he begins to wander from place to place. In fact, part of the judgment was that he was supposed to serve his jail time as a wanderer. Instead of confiscating him into a cell, they said, no, we won't put you in prison. You'll be wandering. And we'll put a mark upon you so that nobody will see you and end your suffering. You will spend your days, live to the full, but as a wanderer. No land will support your destiny. You get that? It was after that that Cain cried out, that why is it that the judgment you have given me is too much for me? He made that complaint. That complaint resulted in deciding to depart from God completely. But since you don't want me, all right, I'm going to build my own thing. I'll build my territories. I will develop my own civilization. We will have our own lessons and we'll sing our own song. That's what you see in the book of Genesis chapter 4, verse 16. It reads, and Cain departed out of the presence of the Lord. Are you there? Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. That means I don't want to have anything to do with God anymore. Okay? Now, he went to build to a land that was the land of Nod, that was east of Eden. Yes? Next verse. Cain knew his wife. That means in this state of a vagabond, a damsel saw him and I don't want to go into that. That would have been an issue for us to discuss for some time, but we will not dwell on such matters tonight. So in this state of the judgment of God, he found a damsel that was interested in him, and he knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Now, are you following? Now, don't forget the philosophy of this city. The philosophy of the civilization that this man is building is a system that exists apart from God. We're trying to lay the foundation on the book of Genesis. Before we arrive at Genesis 12, then you will discover what a call is. And you will discover what happens when there are no people for God to call. You also find out that the call came to this man at the age of 25. That man, Abraham. The call came to him at the age of 25. And his father helped him waste 50 years. So the call will come at this your age. That's when the call will come. His father helped him waste 50 years. At the end of the day, he was now setting out to fulfill the call at the age of 75. So stay with me. You will see the intrigues, the drama. Meanwhile, are you there? In case you ask me, how do you know he was called at the age of 25? That's what many theological scholars, that's their position. It's not in the Bible, but the scholars, most of them say that. So we can borrow from the scholars on this matter. So the call normally comes when you are in this age bracket. The moment you receive the call, that's when your problems will start. So I need to educate you properly so that you will not... Hallelujah. He knew his wife. This guy now wants to establish a city. And the city he wants to establish here is a city that exists apart from God. The laws of God are not here. It's a free land. You can do anything you want. You are not under God's government. You are not under any form of obligation. That's the kind of city that this guy pioneered. Now, if you read these scriptures, you would think Cain is such a sharp guy. No, Satan is walking through Cain, trying to implement what he attempted to implement in heaven, that he was not given the opportunity. Are you there?
Yeah.
Next verse. And unto Enoch was born Irad. And Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. Please, before we start talking about Lamech, I want you to count how many generations from Cain. If you are counting from Cain, how many generations before we arrive at Lamech? If you have a Bible, count. Cain is number one. Enoch is number two. Then count like that to Lamech. We're already having a problem. It's a long journey here. Are you still there? Now, the reason why we are using Lamech as a signpost is because of the next verse. The next verse, what does he say about Lamech? Lamech took unto him two wives. You see, Lamech was another apostle. See, you're not following. It took six generations, even though there were a city that was existing apart from God. God had no authority in that city. God could not decide anything in their midst. Do you still realize that it took six generations until a man was able to conceive polygamy? Six generations. That's why if righteousness prospers in a land, even if the cutting edge of righteousness is lost, it will take time before perversion begins to invade. That's how deep the influence of righteousness can be and government. It took 6 years before a man was able to pioneer a concept that was different from what was obtainable in a land that was existing apart from God. So Lamech was a pioneer of polygamy. The same spirit that speaks to Cain spoke to him. After he married the first wife, the spirit came to him and said, "You know, you are not restricted. Are you aware that you are not restricted? That you are not limited? Lift up your eyes and behold." And that created another pattern that is different from the patterns that existed before him. The name of the first wife was what? Ada. Now, that's where our journey starts. Check the Hebrew for Ada. That's why my scholar is here. Yeah, you check the Hebrew for Ada.
Yes,
what's the meaning? Adornment. That's the meaning of Ada. Now, hey, stay with me. Can you stay with me? Because what we have here is coded insight. Coded. So the meaning of Ada is adornment. That means to make one beautiful. To make one beautiful, to make one attractive. And I'm not saying that you don't need to make yourself attractive as a young damsel, but get this. in this civilization that Cain is building, Ada is a system that is attractive. Part of the things that Satan will use to distract you from what really matters are things that have the ability to attract your soul. Now, I don't know the channels you watch, but those days there was one channel called Z World. I don't know if you know it in America. Do you know it? Z World. And I've discovered, you know, they act romantic things, relationship, heartbreak issues, complications, betrayals in Z World. That Z World can constitute an adder. An adder that has sufficient adornment that is designed to be attractive to you so that your soul can be bound on it. These are the kind of things you find in the system that Cain is built. So, as young adults that you are here now, we need to find your adder. That thing that Satan is using to attract you, and the thing is, it's attractive to you. And if we ask you to disconnect from it, it will look as if you are wounded in your soul because you are so attached to it. It's the power of adder that keeps people in captivity but not with chains. Soul attachments. That's what adder produces. Part of what we will do in this cantonment is to run an inventory and find out if your soul is already hooked on something without chains, without compulsion, just the power of attraction. And one man's attraction is different from the next person's attraction. And Satan will use an adder to put you in captivity without chains. So as a young adult, this night we must write your, as I'm teaching, be writing your own adder. Write it down. At the end of the day, that list that you will gather after this teaching is the list of all your enemies. Then we'll put them to rest. I will show you what to do. This is what we call, it's a full clinical treatment, spiritual clinic, what we want to do. With no test will be omitted, no test. You know, that we went for a medical checkup. They said, okay, the way you look, we don't need this test. In this treatment, you need all. So we start from the test for adder, the attractions of the human soul that is empowered and adorned to keep your soul in perpetual captivity because it is attractive. So when we say it is attractive, we are not even talking about people. We're talking about things, movies, Netflix. What they call that one? Prime. Huh? Amazon Prime. And then there are new ones now. We even AI generated movies. Those ones are I come on. That's adder. So that you come to a point where your soul is bound. You don't have physical chains, but the devil was able to secure soul chains because of the attraction on that. So when we talk to young adults, we must find your adder. Write it. As I'm teaching, be writing your own case down so that we'll see your enemies. And then we can, it's when you know your enemies, you understand this call that God wants to call you. It will make you get out from your kindred. There's a context you will leave to fulfill a call. What's the name of the second wife? Zilla. Yes. Where's my scholar? Check it. Huh? Shade. What? Shade. Do you know what a shade is? A shadow. You are with me. You are alive. Who said shadow? You are alive. Now, a shadow is something that lacks substance. but it appears real. And one of the ways Satan keeps all of us in captivity is by giving us shadows and excluding us from reality. If you have not experienced the love of God, you don't know what love is to give a man. If you have not experienced comfort from God, you don't know what comfort is to give a man. The Bible says, blessed be the Lord God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we ourselves can comfort others with the comfort that we have received from God. If you have not experienced God's love, you don't know what love is to give to a man. So everything you will be to a man is in representative capacity. Is that which you have experienced from God. So you can now represent God in the life of a man. You can represent God in the life of a woman. So God is the reality. It's what you contact from him that you reflect. But Satan doesn't want you to meet with God. So he wants you to walk with the shadow. Something that is not real. Whereas Adam is an attraction that keeps your soul in bondage. Zilla is a mirage. That which is not real. You think what you have in downtown is real love. Then it stretches you for 2 years and strains you. Then after 2 years, it breaks up. Then you discover that it was just a shadow. There was no real love in it. The person was in your life because the person wanted to exploit you. The person was in your life because the person wanted to use you. The person saw you as a commodity that should be consumed, not as a destiny that should be invested in. And you believed that it was real, and you gave your all to it, not knowing that it was a shadow. So we need to identify the shadows that you are pursuing. If we cannot diagnose your shadows, and that's why some of you have heartbreaks. And I want you to understand that heartbreaks are good. Heartbreaks are what? Because many times, it's only when you have a heartbreak that you will know that it was a shadow. You will think there was substance. It is when you are no longer emotional and you begin to analyze. Hey, I didn't notice this. I didn't see this. What's a shadow? So the civilization that Cain is building traps people through attractions and then traps people through shadows. Can we go on? Okay, let's go on. Next verse. And Ada bear Jabal. You know, I told you it's coded language. It's coded. Who is Jabal? Jabal, he was the father of such that dwell in tents and of such that as have cattle. Are you still following our context? These guys are running a civilization that exists apart from God. They don't want to have anything to do with God. In the Garden of Eden, Adam's job was Adam's purpose. Are you there? His purpose and his job was one and the same. But when they came out of the Garden of Eden because of the fall, then our job and our purpose became different. You are not with me. If you digest that, then I will break it down. So let's call your purpose your work. Let us call your what you do for your purpose. We'll call it your real work. And then you now have a job. How many of you have a job? All right. Okay. It's good to have a job. You know what this guy did? This guy created a job. Because he was the father of such that dwell in tents and of such that have livestock. That's real estate and salary. I don't know how much you pay for rent. And we don't want to go into that because it will be. I don't know how much you pay for rent. And your rent keeps running. It keeps running, so you must be productive. So your job is important. So now what Jabal is trying to do is to preoccupy you with your job so that you don't have time to do your work. You are not following. You know, I told you there's no need for us to clap. Let us talk. This position you are, this time of your life, is the most important time. You need the most sincere counselors over your life to direct you to know when to stand, when to walk away, and when to run. You think you have time? You don't. So Jabal created employment for self-support. And the employment was supposed to be a bait that will preoccupy him in view of his seeming legitimacy, preoccupy him and make him not to have time to fulfill his purpose. Now, many of you here, you have not been able to sustain a life of weekly fasting. You have not been able to sustain a life of a personal life of fasting and prayer, a discipline, spiritual discipline. The reason is because you just have to go to work. And you have not yet known how to manage your work and your job. So that whether you know it or you don't know it, many people, all they will do in their life is their job. And most people will not fulfill their work. This complication was created by a man called who? Jabal. In order to balance this matter, you must understand that your job pays salaries, but your work will pay rewards. And I'm not saying don't do your job, but you must do your job and do your work. You cannot escape. Listen to me. As a young adult, you cannot escape a busy life. Because your rent and all the other things that come from your job, the expenses that you need to make are legitimate. And the Bible says that a man that is not able to provide for his household is worse than an infidel. So God wants you to be responsible. And the way to be responsible is to build yourself to a point where you have a skill that you can sell. Are you following? And in addition to that, it does not take away the responsibility of building your spirit. Because God's strategy is that your pulpit may not be this type of pulpit. And it will interest you to know that in the days of Jesus' ministry, he didn't have a pulpit. What we call his ministry were the things he did under normal life circumstances. So if we build you up and you are an evangelist in a supermarket is an evangelist. If most of your active time is spent in the supermarket, it means that that's your pulpit. Your pulpit may not be in church. Your pulpit may be in government. Your pulpit may be in the marketplace. Your pulpit may be, you will find out that in apostolic technology, we don't look for pulpits, we look for people. Anywhere people are, there is ministry there. And will prepare you to be able to mount the pulpit of every sphere of human endeavor. But Jabal wants you to be preoccupied with your job, so much so that you lose sight of your work. If I pass a questionnaire around this place, you will find out. Are you still with me? You will find out that most of you do not know the reason why you are existing. Meanwhile, you know your job. Some of you are medical doctors. You survived medical school. You survived pharmacy school. You survived engineering school. And you came out a victor. But you don't know your calling. You see, your calling is not a product of intelligence. It's a product of intimacy. Your calling is not what you choose, just like you chose to be a doctor. It's what you discover. Jabal wants to preoccupy you with your work so that you see that your work is everything and you don't have time to pursue your purpose. Is that clear? Remember the intrigues. Okay, let's go to the next verse. His brother's name was what? I can see that your response is becoming weak. That's how we know when to close. when the response is weak, then what we'll do for, we'll just close. It means that's the best you can take. His brother's name was Jubal. Let us get the details of this man. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and the organ. Jabal created jobs for self-support. Jubal created music for self-entertainment. Listen, I don't know how many of you have had this experience before. You woke up and there was a song playing in your spirit. That's one of the signs of spiritual health. It means you are spiritually healthy. When Lucifer was created, he had music built on his framework. The musical instruments were external on his body. When Lucifer fell, he created man, but he put the musical instruments inside of man. And when you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit now comes into that heart and becomes the one that plays the instruments. So in the New Testament, there is music in man. When the Holy Ghost brings his bride out of the swamp, out of the dust, out of wrinkles, out of spots, he sings. That's what we call the song of songs. This song of songs is your deliverance from depression. I tell you, as a man that has tarried long in God's presence, because of the work I did, I was not at home for 11 years. My pastime was a song of songs. My colleagues were bored. I was not bored. There was so much activity inside of my being, much more than the World Cup, much more than the Premier League. It was a song of songs. And when this guy lost the songs of songs, can you just leave it? Leave it where it is. I know you want to try all your skills. No. Your will not be done. Put my scripture where it is. Yeah. Are you there? This man, he has lost the music inside. So it means that there is the consciousness of the void inside of him is stronger. So in order to distract himself, he went and created music for self-entertainment, to perpetually distract himself from the void that is inside of him. When God wants to deliver you from depression, what he does is that he begins to sing inside of your heart. You must understand that in the Garden of Eden, Adam was alone, but Adam was not lonely. The Bible didn't say he was lonely, because being alone is different from being lonely. Being lonely is an emotional situation. Adam was not in that emotional situation of being lonely, because he had the presence of God and he was participating in that presence. Part of the symptoms of participating in the presence of God is the song of songs. Oh. Anytime I'm going under the shower, it's a spiritual time for me. Because the song of song will pop up. Sometimes I sing songs that I don't even know whether they exist on a treble clef. But it brings ventilation to my spirit. The song of songs. Jubal had lost his song. And he created an organ. He created a harp for self-entertainment. Are you there? Next verse. Now. Are you there? So at this point, the question I need to ask you is, do you still have your songs in you? If there's any young adult here that you have lost your songs, there are so many seasons of your life when God gives you songs. When you are passing through your ninth season, and if you know life at all, do you know life? There are times you have day seasons, and there are times you have night seasons. Not because anything went wrong, but because it is day and night. So there are times where things are not as great as you would have wanted it to be. And God gives you the capacity to survive it by giving you songs in the night. Songs. The Lord that gives songs in the night. And I can testify that in my night seasons, I came up with so many songs. In fact, if you watch our old videos, our old tapes, I sang 174 songs, new songs that no one ever sang. And I sang it one time, just one time, one time. I will be in the service and I'll begin to sing. The choir have said they want to take it to the studio. Those songs, those my days of singing were the days of darkness. And the way God sustained me was that he gave me songs. Do you still have your songs? If you don't have your song, write it down. It's one of the symptoms. It means you are without a song. That means Juba has planned for you. Next verse. No. And Zillah, she bare Tubal-Cain. Who is Tubal-Cain? An instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. Tubal-Cain is the one that created weapons of mass destruction. He had lost his sense of security, his sense of defense in God. And in order for him to be sure that he was secure, he created weapons. Weapons for self-defense. Jobs for self-support. Music for self-entertainment. You see, it is in the realm of self that his infrastructure was built, not in the realm of the spirit. If you are still with me, say amen. The young adult must ensure that he's not a victim of the infrastructure that Satan has built around self to make him or her captive. So the first question I have for you is your job your God? You need to answer that question right now. Is your job your God? Second question I need to ask you, do you still have your song? Do you still have your song? I'm not talking about the one that you have been writing. I'm talking about the one it wells up. It wells up. If your intercessory life is in order, then your songs will return. And that's the reason why we do 10 hours prayer, so that you will have your songs every day. Many times Satan tries to find me, doesn't see me. I'm locked up with my songs. I didn't know he showed up. I'm consumed. I know my songs. Ooh, sometimes my wife will see me. Sometimes I don't sing it out. She'll just see me dancing. Say, this is my husband. I say, oh. I have my own entertainment. It comes from within me. Keep your songs. Please help me preach to your neighbor. Keep your songs. Yes? What verse are we now? If we read further, there is more insight about Lamech. Lamech was a second person that was guilty of murder. And it means that murder was becoming common. Darkness was becoming common. Death was becoming common. The reason was because there was no God in their civilization. So let me prophesy to you, the darkness that we see today, it will become more dark. Yes, it's not going to get better. Evil men will become more vicious. Evil things will become more, people will become more bold to do evil. But in the same time, God will be calling his people. Are you there? So Lamech was guilty of murder, just like Cain, his ancestor. And then this is the chronicle of the city and the civilization that Cain began to pioneer under the guidance of Satan. Such that anybody that is found within this city that Cain is building should never have any opportunity to encounter God at all. When you hear stuff like there should be no prayer in the school, it's a system that is designed to insulate people from God. There is no plan for you to encounter God in the process. It's deliberate. Take away 10 commandments. Let nobody see anything that will expose him to a need to be accountable. You are not with me. It's deliberate. It's a civilization. In the land of Nod that Cain began to build. And guess what? Not everybody joined Cain in this his civilization. Because, verse 26, you would think that Satan had covered everywhere. But in verse 26, we see a little light. A little light. And unto Set. Are you seeing? This is another race. The first race was the race of Cain. Then this is another race. And unto Set, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. See, another civilization was rising. And I don't know why it was when Seth had a son that he began prayer. I don't know. Maybe his wife, the pregnancy was so terrible. And he loved that woman. And the way the thing was heavy on her. Oh! From that time henceforth, a new race began to rise. When we go to the book of Genesis chapter 6, we are going to see that the race of Cain, they multiplied. Oh, you are not following. The race of Cain, they multiplied. So this other race of the guys that were calling upon the name of the Lord, that did not follow Cain in his civilization. Can you see that these ones, these guys, they were not as many as I think someone is troubling us with a ringtone. That is Juba. You are in a military cantonment now. So my job is not to make you happy. You don't go to the barracks looking for love. It's a place of discipline and training. May the Lord give you understanding. In a few years' time, one day you will call me and thank me. Oh, thank you. Now you will not thank me now. But in a few years' time. Now we finish clapping for the weekend. No clapping required again. At least in my own session. You can clap in the other sessions. We have other sessions. My own, don't clap. Just wait. Can you see that the infrastructure was built to insulate everyone that was in Cain's civilization away from God. You are insulated from God. There's no hope that you will encounter God, no hope that you will touch God. Let me tell you the truth. I have been a missionary on the continent of Africa for many years, Europe for many years, before I came to America. I've been a missionary to Brazil. I can tell you that the civilization that we have in the West is a civilization that was built to ensure that people are insulated from God. If you don't make any definite intentional effort, you will find that you will not meet God at all throughout your life. It was in Birmingham in the United Kingdom. We just finished a mighty service. And a lady requested that she must see me. So, I accepted. She had tattoos from here, everywhere that the shirt did not cover. Stomach had tattoos. She had given her life to Christ. You know what she told me? We were insulated from God. That's what she told me. We were insulated from God. How I wish I heard what you preach today. How I wish I heard what you preach today. 16 years ago, we were insulated from God. I am who you met today because I was insulated from God. I was in Cain's city. Everything that is in that city is designed to take you away from God. Should I tell you something? Because it is designed to take you away from God, if you don't make any personal effort, you will never know Him. And the moment you start having kids, if you don't know what to do to raise kids, because kids will learn from your life, the example you put before their face. If they see you praying on your knees every day, they will become prayer people. Kids will not learn from what you are saying, they will learn from your lifestyle. Do you have the discipline to present a lifestyle that little ones will look at and become better than you? And if you don't do it intentionally, it will never happen. Because the system was designed to insulate you from God. Then the generation of Seth, a new thing began to happen. This was when prayer was discovered. They began to call upon the name of the Lord. So if you want to escape Cain's civilization, the way out is prayer. And that's why for every apostolic company, we emphasize prayer. You can't escape it. You can't. No, you can't circumvent it. You cannot dodge it. That's the only escape route that is available. If not, you become a victim of this structured city that Cain pioneered. The first choice that we must make at the end of this induction tonight is to choose the way of prayer. That's the only escape option. But before we go into choosing the way of prayer, we need to see your other your own specific. You should have 4 items on your list by now. I'm not saying show me. I'm not saying show me. I'm just saying write it and know it for yourself. We need to expose you to the things that will tie you down from your soul, distract you, and keep you boxed in so that you are perpetually insulated from God. So I think it's time for me to tell you my story. Do you have those 4 things down there? The things, your order. Write it. If you don't know it, you'll not be able to deal with it. You know, I asked you a question. Your order, what's it? Your zeal. What's the shadow that Satan is making you pursue all the time? Because you are an emotional person. So your shadow is almost always around emotions. That is a proof of the fact that you have not yet submitted your emotions to the government of God. You are not with me. Oh. You are not with me. I was telling my wife a story. Maybe I need to tell us. You know, Pastor, I was an evangelist before. Before the teaching anointing came, I was a rugged evangelist. Preaching on the campus. Very articulate. Your heart will shake. Your heart will shake. When big lectures end and people are coming out, you will see me standing somewhere. Oh, your heart. And if I start talking, you can't move. You can't move. Something will keep you. You can't move. There is a place where we come to buy stuff. You find people smoking. If I come there, people will not be bold to smoke until I leave. So I was an evangelist. Preaching the gospel. Meanwhile, I was not the only one. At least in our own generation, we were like, there were like 15 people that you would know that the hand of God was upon them. I was one of them, but I was not the best. Some of them were stronger than I was. At least I know like 4 of them that were much stronger than I was. There was one that taught me how to fast. That one fast, dry fasting every semester, 21 days. Dry fasting. He's the one that taught me how to fast. 21 days, no food, no water. He taught me how to fast. He said, if you want power, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. He was much stronger. I began to learn the way of fasting. And not just fasting and walking around. I fast, I lock myself up. I can stay for 3 days. He can stay for 21 days. Those days. And he does that every semester. So I was not the best. Are you there? Then there was one lady, one damsel. And I name with her because I don't know where this tape will go. So the name, if not, I came with evidence to show you with name and, but we are online now. Well, this damsel had strange powers. Her assignment was to ensure that there was no anointed man left after that our generation graduates. I was the teacher of the generation on campus. I was the evangelist and teacher. We had preachers. There was one guy, if he holds the mic and he begins to preach, you can't sit there. Oh, he had energy. He had energy. And that energy will enter into your soul. You will leave the service and the message will still be in your spirit because of the energy by which it was transmitted. If this lady stands close to you as a guy, your chemistry will just change. She has strange powers and she's aware of it. And the assignment that she was given was to ensure that no fire burns in the land. Ada. So I remember we used to pray in the night. Somewhere far away we used to pray. We were 40 people every night. 12 midnight we were there. We were praying every single day. And we prayed for 2 academic sessions. After 2 academic sessions of prayer, there was a revival. I've seen a revival before. People giving their life to Christ. Are you there? Unbelievers coming to my room. No preaching, just coming to my room that they came for me to lead them to Christ. I'll lead them to Christ and I say, in the evening, can you meet me? We used to pray in the tennis court of the campus. The tennis court, all right? So after leading him to Christ during lectures, I'll ask him to come and meet me in the night on the tennis court. Those days, I was the Holy Ghost bartender. Anyone that needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you come and meet me. I had the technology. Members of courts. Those days we had some courts. One court was called Black Axe. The other one was called Buccaneers. Another one was called Pirates. Another one was, Black Sea Dogs. When you see them with their beret, red, you know that the school will shut down that day. Imagine you see 200 people with red berets. The school, oh my God. These ones, Satan has helped them. You know people that Satan has helped. The school will shut down. They will come to school with knockout. What's the American name of? Fireworks. So on campus, they'll be shooting fireworks. They will shoot it for one session. Every night. Boo! 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 Until you become used to it. So that when they shoot a gun, you will not know. Yes. Those were the schools we went to. The campuses. It was like gangster city. People were bad. But I was an evangelist and a teacher. With flames, and I trust that gift. If I start, no, your heart will shake. I've seen court people shake, drop their things. Yes, I've seen court people. And the captain of the court food, they called him a capon. So that capon has bodyguards that walk him to his lecture room. And when he's coming out, the bodyguards will walk him out. I mean students, so. Oh, I know you don't know that. Capon. He's moving like a king. Nobody can try him. Because he can shoot the lecturer. He can shoot. Those were the schools we went to. You attended the University of Minnesota. Yeah. And nobody lost his temper till you graduated. It was a gangster environment. That day when you see the Black Axe with their beret, when it's red, there's a problem. It's either those days, it's either you were a very good unbeliever or you were an extreme Christian, the way I was. The Capon or Black Axe, the people in Black Axe were many, were more than any other cult. They poisoned the capon of Black Axe. They now advise him now. The only solution now is, let's take you to pastor. So they brought him to my room. I asked his boys, his bodyguards, go out. You go out. And I wanted to lead him to Christ. That was when he now started telling me the truth, that his mother was a pastor. Those ones kill people without blinking. Say, my mother, he became sober. I prayed for him and blessed water, gave him to drink. He slept on my bed. He woke up and the effect of the poison wore out. I was praying and watching over him. When he rose up, he said, Pastor, I believe your message, but I cannot change here. These boys will take me down. Say, if I survive, I will meet you when we are done, after school. So he left my room. After we had that intimate talk, he left my room, still a gangster. And he went with his boys again. We have people, I don't want to mention their names. Those ones were not just stubborn guys. They were initiated into witchcraft. They had supernatural powers. Yes, it was on that environment. So my campus was so bad that you'll be insulated completely from God. Those were the days when we began to pray. When we pray, they'll be laughing at us, yelling at us. After 2 years of prayer, the same people that laughed at us God released an angel from heaven that came down. One of those days we were praying and somebody got drunk and he wanted to pass to the hostel. So we're praying where that pulpit is. The guy wants to pass here. He couldn't pass. He tried. He was doing something like for 2 hours we're praying in tongues. And people came for Holy Ghost wine. Holy Ghost wine. So we were preparing them for the drink. They began to, cultists. And we're doing it in the open. They will drop the axe. Accept Jesus. Then we won't leave you like that. You must drink. You must drink. The guy was here, drunk. When we finished praying, and I went to him, I said, where are you going and what is holding you? He said, can't you see this man standing before me? That's when I knew that there was an angel that resisted him, that he has to give his life to Christ. I saw what I'm telling you with my eyes. We led him to, he was smelling alcohol. We led him to cry. I don't know whether God answered his prayer, but he was under the influence when we led him. It was only after he had given his life to Christ that he could pass to the hostel. The hand of God began to burn. And what I noticed was that the people that were on fire, their fire started going down. You know, we were in our prayer group, we were 40 people every night for 2 years, consistent. I noticed our numbers started reducing. From 40, we became 35. From 35, we became 27. From 27, we became 18. We're 18 for a while. We became 12. We became 12. Then we became 7. We're 7 for a while. We became 3. And glory to God, I was the only one after some time. And while the fire was going out, I did not know the story. The reason why the fire was going out, I did not know the reason until I graduated. It was someone that was left behind that was telling me the real story why the fire went down. There was a girl that was anointed and sent by the enemy. Actually, there were many of them, but this one was more endowed than any other one. When I say endowment, it's not necessarily, yes, she's beautiful. But she was more spiritually empowered than any beauty that she had. She stands close to you. That's all she needs to do. There was a power that she had. And that power took away the anointing on many young preachers that will be evangelists today. Great prophets. Great prophets. So the story I came to tell you is the story of how that lady pursued me for 5 years for a sex experience. 5 calendar years. I remember one of my sons those days on campus, the guy came to me and said, I want to learn your ways. I said, no problem. Do you fast? You eat every day? You know, those days, those were the days when I was Elijah. I've changed. My wife has changed me. My wife has changed me. I was Elijah. I don't smile those days. I just come with discernment. Jesus. My wife tried. She tried. We started 8 hours prayer that time. From 8 o'clock to 4 p.m. 8 o'clock to 4 p.m. Those days. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Rugged, tough, hardened. So that girl was the agent they sent for my life. Just one sexual encounter and the flames will be gone. Do you know that revival was what began to leak out occultism of my campus. And the people that were supposed to be capons, they were saved. But while that was going on, and God was directing people to listen to my voice began to rise. Then Satan also sent Ada. Make yourself attractive. This lady has supernatural power. So that my son on campus, I saw them doing deliverance one day. You know, we use the tennis court. So, and there's a lot of many floodlights over the tennis court, so you can see. It's like day. I saw him doing deliverance. And I saw that lady among one of the people he wanted. I called him and said, go home. Go home. Because I know he didn't have what... He didn't know. Most of the people that became a victim, she went to them and said she had a deliverance case. Just start by laying your hands. You are gone. So I said, young man, go home. I said, go home. Go home. Do you know that guy is one of our pastors, our RCM pastors today? He obeyed me, even though he wanted to try his hands in the deliverance. Yeah! Oh! Young man, go home, go home. Go home. She followed me for 5 years. She followed me. I graduated from Makurdi. I got a job in Abuja. Do you know how the population of Abuja? That girl, she will trace you. If it's Minnesota, she will trace you here. Yes. I'm telling you, the spirit speak to her. I'm not talking about somebody that's a spiritual novice. We were on a crusade, about 10,000 men on a crusade ground, where you can lose your child and your child will be lost. This girl tracked me in the crowd. 10,000. I had finished school. She tracked me to Abuja. They posted me back from the head office, posted me to Benue State. She tracked me again on the crusade ground. Those days when Umar Okpai preached, 10,000 men on the field, the girl tracked me there. And the energy she was carrying was growing over the years. After 5 years of attempt, she preached to me. She gave me a message that says, you have refused to deny Jesus. Don't deny him in all of your life. And she walked to me. It was after that I could marry. I chose to be a descendant of Seth. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call on the name of the Lord. The only way we escaped the darkness. There's no darkness on your campuses. Oh. Do you know darkness? People were being initiated on a daily basis. Ladies, guys, initiated. That was what was ready. And then we decided that we'll call upon the name of the Lord. And every day we made ourselves available. Every day. You will lose the authority to change your world if you do not make it a custom to call upon the name of the Lord. That lady came to look for me city after city. You will know they are sending her. But unfortunately for her, before she comes, I've increased my prayer life. The time came when she said she was no longer a Christian. She was a free thinker. I went to attend a church service somewhere, and I saw her in the choir. After the service, I went there. I said, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? The pastors were not aware. That was a lady that destroyed that church. Till today. One, just one. When she comes with that energy, she will come as if she wants to. She wants counseling. Sorry, this is my problem. This is my problem. If you hear that story, Ada has made you a slave. Many men, those strong men that you know, they did not pass out of that campus with that flame. Even the strongest. That was when I knew that God gave men grace. My friends, they fasted my sheep. He will not eat. He will not eat. He will not eat. If after 21 days he comes somewhere and he said, this evil here, I curse it. That thing will die. Even that one did not survive. The great, my mentor, that one did not survive. They took his flame. I met him years later. And he cried out. My flame was taken. And he never recovered that flame till this day. It was in those days that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Where do you stand? Do you stand with Jabal? Or you stand with Tubal Cain? Is your place Lamech? Or you stand with Seth? And the generation of Jesus, if you draw the family tree, it traces back to Seth. This was the lineage through which Jesus came. Men began to call upon the name of the Lord. We'll continue my stories tomorrow, but we're going to have to make a decision. Did you write something on your list? Because we're going to come against those things. What is the adder that has kept your soul in perpetual bondage, in a prison house without bars and chains? Many good men did not see the light of day. Some even died. Missed their way for some few years, and Satan knew that God can forgive, and he killed them so that they will not have the opportunity to access mercy. I serve Jesus. Yes, I am saying this because some of you, your miracles will come during this conference. I tell you, your miracles will come, but you will know how to manage it. After 5 years, she preached to me. You have refused to deny Jesus? Don't deny him again. And she left. My wife knows the story. We are going to pray. I used to be Elijah before. Don't let it, you will not see any emotion on my face. It's because of how hard the part was. It's my wife that now say, hey, okay. I became like this. Hey, I will see it. Capolia. Yes, sir. I will see what I say. Hey, he said, we are not fighting every day. Calm down. I choose to call upon the name of the Lord. That's the way out. The only way to escape this civilization is to accept the call to prayer. Can you stand on your feet? I want you to make your own personal decision. That's the part I choose. And when you choose that part, you stay there. I choose the call to prayer. I choose it. That is the decision I'm making. Somebody make that decision. Make that decision for yourself.
To him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Satan wants you in captivity. He wants you insulated from God. Your only escape route from this prison house that he has created is to accept the life of prayer. My way will be prayer. My strategy will be prayer. My preoccupation. Oh, man. Somebody make that commitment right now. Meriko Siso Salimakabia. This is what we do. This is what we do. We are men of prayer. We are men of the altar. It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. We will give ourselves to prayer, to prayer, to prayer, and to the ministry of the word of God. This is who we are. 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 We are men of prayer. We are women of prayer. We are a generation of prayer people. We respond by prayer. We attack by prayer. We war by prayer. We live by prayer. Yeah. Filatos kendo yapoko ma ampela ita shakombe. Our strategy is prayer. Yes, we call upon the name of the Lord. This is how we win. This is how we fight. Yes, sign up. Sign up. It is your strength. It is your strategy. You can never let it go. Prayer is the way. Prayer is the way. We will not be bound. Alabosia capotatua. For the will of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. Kayamo ilamateya. For the will of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. I choose the way.
Jesus the way. God the Lord. For the way of the Lord.
The Lord is our way.
Yes, it's a book of the Bataya. Proske for Kabina Kaye.
Survive that civilization. The civilization haunts every man, haunts every destiny. It's more intense when you are young. It hides behind your perceived sense of need. It hides behind circumstances, situations. But this is the city trying to bring you into captivity. Descendants of Seth were able to escape it because they called. Oh my God, somebody call upon the name of the Lord. Moses Ali Kopabina, Ukebebelia, Shekito Kopela Kuteba, Babobo Shantedi, Yekute Mankedia, Kito Pondo. Ade kusebalita presko famante yaka mentoria presko pagena I raiko babuda gasa prosketa kaya bonde purika babasi. This is the only way. We sign up tonight. We sign up.
is the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord, the way of the Lord is the way. For the way of the Lord,
of the Lord is the way.
For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the leaders of tomorrow. You are the ones that will insist that the devil will not reign in your time. Strengthen yourself. Stir up yourself in the Holy Ghost. You must not be a weakling. It is by prayer. That's our strategy. That's our way. That's our wisdom. Supermarket is an evangelist. The supermarket can be his platform. A prophet operating as a doctor in the hospital is still a prophet. The location does not affect the ordination. That place becomes your pulpit. The people that God wants to save by your hand will come through that door. Are you ready? To stand for the Lord in your time. To stand at the gates, bearing witness of his resurrection. For his is the kingdom. His is the glory. His is the power. Hey, Sigo Fateli. Makonte ilabobo satalia. Oh, Sabina Korea Bahalata. Ila Bobo Sadi Kobay. person next to you, hold to the left and to the right if you have people by your side. The journey begins today. A new breed without greed will arise. A radical opposition against unrighteousness. Men that dance to the beat of a different drummer have pledged their allegiance to a different flag. Can you release some strength into that brother, that sister? You will be a witness. You will carry the name of Jesus. You will not be weak. Your soul will not be conquered. You will stand your ground as you bear the testimony of Jesus. Receive strength.
Eloi Salika, Eloi
Yes, Aleto Kobina Kadia, Rescope Maguila Conte Babolia, Afele Mama. Pesico Babima Motai. Your praise. The least among our numbers will become as strong as David. Because the Lord will increase your greatness and comfort you on every side. By the Lord, you will run through a troop. By the Lord, you will leap over the wall. Oh! 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 Can you take a moment,